Hey everyone, this is Leanna and I'm here with Il Peach.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you guys for joining us today. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of what's going on, how did you guys come up with the name Il Peach? Baby Peach? Little Peach? Bad Peach?
Jess.
Bad Peach. It's not very interesting, but we basically just put together a bunch of words and we thought that that sounded sick.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't like it, but it felt appropriate. Sometimes one of us is really in a nasty mood. One of us is sweet. We trade roles often. We asked our friends.
We took a list of words, brought it to our friends, and the one that they said, no, this is like definitely don't do this name. That's...
We were like, this is right.
Well, because it's like you kind of sometimes just want to go with how you're feeling. And if people don't like it, that's okay. But also, like, I think a lot of people relate to that. Even though it's like two words together, I think like peaches are so sweet. But sometimes it's like you're feeling sweet, but also like you don't want to be sweet all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
So I get it.
We're very polar opposites also. Oh. So a lot of people that collaborate with us are always like noticing that. So it just felt appropriate too.
I like that. Yeah. And you guys, I know, did you guys meet in high school, I think?
We did.
Okay. So you met in high school. I read that you guys were kind of a little like you did the acapella, like kind of geeked out a bit and stuff.
We were huge nerds.
Okay.
Like theater, acapella, jazz group nerds.
The best musicians are, I feel like.
Yeah.
Big musical guy.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys did like musical theater. You did all the shows, everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
I grew up in a
musical household.
Yeah.
So my parents, brother and sister. Yeah.
What was your favorite show that you did? Musical.
Probably Oklahoma or Sound of Music.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah. My dad was a musical director at a theater. So I kind of grew up doing shows at this theater.
Yeah. And it's like kind of fun when you grow up in that environment and then you can translate that into a different genre, your own creative process.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite show doing musical wise?
Oh my gosh. I mean, my career only extended to the end of high school.
So. Not into college or anything like that, yeah.
Probably The Sound of Music, though.
We both did that show together.
Aww. But I feel like I was more like choir girl, like acapella jazz.
You were more like Glee.
Oh my God.
Totally.
I love
show choir.
I love hearing about artists like background, like that kind of geeky stuff, because most artists are, you know, pretty cool, like, you know, have a cool like vibe and everything. So when you hear that someone's done something kind of geekier like in the past, it's always kind of fun to know that background.
Yes.
And with you guys knowing each other for so long, you know, a long time, how has that kind of helped your process with making music? Do you write together? Do you create everything together? Or do you guys kind of split up the work in terms of like you write, you do the music? Like, how do you guys do that?
It used to be more 50-50, but now we kind of like both dabble in each other's roles. Like he does the majority of the music. I'll co-produce on things. I do the majority of the writing and singing. Now he has started focusing on that part too, but
I love that.
Yeah, it helps with the history because we can be really blunt and just be like, that is shit.
No, I hate it.
Yeah. Or that's amazing.
You know, yeah. It's a lot of throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yep.
Just walk in the room.
And I feel like generally that's what happens in life. You just have to keep trying things and then see if they actually work or not.
Yeah.
But it's nice you guys can be honest with each other and be able to be like, yeah, I don't like that. Not loving it. Some people, I think, I don't know. It seems like some bands definitely have a little bit of a hierarchy where it's like this person is kind of the main, like making choices, making the, you know, the rules. And it's nice that you guys, it seems like you have a very equal relationship with writing.
Yeah, there's no, excuse me.
I was like, that's probably the one point where we could like butt heads sometimes.
Oh.
Because
we're
always trying to be equal.
Very Libra of you. Yes. I found out that you're a Libra.
You're Sagittarius. Yeah. You're Sagittarius of me.
I was going to bring the astrology in later, but I couldn't help it.
Let's go there.
Let's do it. No, like Libras are all about balance.
Yes.
You're trying to keep the harmony.
Exactly. I like chaos, you know.
Sagittarius do like chaos.
Do they?
They do. And sometimes Sagittarius, I do feel like they know so much. So I do feel like sometimes Sagittarius And other signs can like be like, yeah, I think this is the way we should do it. And Libras are like, yeah, like I want harmony. So that's interesting.
It's very fitting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's why this is working out.
He's like, I guess, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But it does seem like you guys have a really good balance of everything and you work really well together. And I really heard that. So I've been listening nonstop to Bloom, which is very fitting. It came out today.
That's right.
And that's really exciting that you guys are here on the day that it's premiering. And I have to say, I don't know. I kept repeating it in my car. It was one of those songs, and I'm not just saying to butter you guys up. It was one of those songs that I just kept playing. At first I listened to it, I was like, okay. And then I just kept listening and would turn up, you know, especially when you're like really getting into it. And it was cool because I read that you are really inspired by Karen O and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And it was really similar to Karen O, especially that beginning part of the song.
Sick.
And I was like, this is really good. So how much was the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and Karen O an inspiration, not only for this song, but just in general for your music? And what other bands do you guys feel like are influences too?
It's funny because I think that I've always gotten the Karen O reference with my voice, like for years. So obviously I love her and I love the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I think it's nice between us because that would be, I would say, one of my favorite bands, but we really have tried to like also be like a hybrid of other music too.
Like it's like a nod to that, but I don't want to lean into it too far because I always get that reference.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't want to go like too much, but also like embrace like just the natural quality.
But I think there are certain elements, like I think how musically, sonically, and like lyrically she writes, it can be very simplistic in its nature, but very powerful.
Yeah.
So it definitely, like, those were the takeaways for writing the songs more than being like, I'm going to, you know, try to like, match that sonic palette.
And
it's a delicate balance, how much influence you can let in, you know, like the things you listen to, the things you see and watch out of just enjoyment and love.
Yeah.
That's what is going to shape you, you know, and your taste. But then there's also this other side where if you kind of close the door on that, it leaves room for more imagination.
Yeah, you don't want to go like too far.
Yeah.
But you also want to allow yourself to be inspired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really loved what you were saying, not to get on a whole Karen O thing, but her music is really amazing because it can be very simplistic, but also very like so many different elements.
Yep.
And that's what I really love about your music too.
Thank
is that like I heard the song Gum, which obviously came out like a couple years ago. And that to me seemed a little bit more of, I don't know, there was like a rawness and like kind of not simplistic in a bad way, but like a sweet simplicity that I really connected with. Mm. Whereas, I don't know, some of the other songs were a little bit more like there was more going on. There's a little bit more grit or other elements to it. So I really like, I don't know, I really like the combination you guys have
with
all that. So it's really cool that you guys do that. And it's exciting. So Bloom is coming out, and then obviously you're going to put out an album in November.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is very exciting. And how is this album, you know, I was reading up on your last EP and everything, and I was reading up on how that last EP was really about your journey from New York to LA and kind of how you were finding yourselves, finding this journey. New York seemed a little bit chaotic, which is understandable, and you're trying to get to here, LA. So with this new album, is there kind of a theme for the whole album, or do you feel like each song just has its own individual meaning or thing you're putting out there, message kind of?
I feel like it's a journey to listen throughout the whole thing, and that's kind of the meaning of it. Like it's really about our healing journey, you know, once getting settled in LA, really establishing ourselves as artists, but also just the past few years have been super chaotic and like, you know, encountering a bunch of life things, COVID, you know, like my dad got sick. There was just a lot that, you know, it was for me to write about, it was focusing on healing. So that was kind of like, I'd say, the main concept of the album. even though, you know, it takes you on this wild journey and everyone may like hear or interpret things differently from each song.
Yeah. But. No, that's really cool. And I mean, I couldn't help but notice so much of your music was put out during the pandemic. So obviously I figured that there was going to be a lot involved with that. And mm-hmm. I mean, did the pandemic, I mean, it sounds like it did kind of affect the music.
For sure.
Yeah. Affected what you guys were writing about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because it's like, at this point, everyone's like, cool, can we not talk about
yeah.
the pandemic?
Right,
but
right.
It's
a part
it's
of
just
us,
what
though.
It, yeah, I mean, like, yeah. that really was a huge turning point for us as, like, just people and, mm. and as artists, too. Because we had a chance to, you know, like, try on different outfits, try different things, but then also there's this whole other, like, life happening outside of that, which yeah. was, like, really challenging, you know, for everybody. So yeah, a lot of the music was made during that time, and it was kind of like, how do we come out of this? And it was an opportunity to sort of choose who we wanted to be and mm. how we wanted to handle these things. And that's, you know, also a big part of the music and a part of that healing journey that you kind of hear in the album.
And that's kind of cool that, because I know you had one song that came out in 2019, right? Wasn't there, I think, just one song?
Yeah, that was sort of like the beginning of Ill Peach and still really like scratching the surface of like, who are we as a band?
Yeah.
You know? And so now I feel, especially with this album, like I feel so like in my bones. Like, oh, this is me as an artist. He feels that way. You know, like we've gone on a trek with this like sonic journey where it's like landing in a place that's really cool and interesting, and people are like starting to grasp it and get it, and so are we. So,
and even
cool.
through your music videos too, because I was watching some of the music videos too, and I love that. I think I was watching, which one was it? Was it Comatose?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And was that the one where it was like kind of really chaotic? Mm-hmm. And it was like from the point of view of like, well, I remember there was like you were at the basketball and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that you guys can, and that was during the pandemic, right? That song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was, yep.
Okay.
Yep. That was February 2021.
Yep. Okay. So we were definitely in it still.
No, 2022. Yeah.
And you really got the chaos. I mean, I got into that. I was like, that's really cool. And I love that people can relate in that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's for me that's what a lot of these songs sound like and feel like is just like, sounds like my mind, my brain at that time, which was chaotic.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to listen to it sometimes. You know, just because I'm like, I'm literally going back to that
yeah.
time, you know?
Oh, and I bet it's such a visceral experience for you.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing as an artist. I mean, us people that, you know, just are listening, we hear your music and we feel whatever we feel. But for you guys, it's like you are taken right back to whatever you were feeling. And that must be a lot to absorb all that. You're listening, you're feeling whatever, you're feeling what you feel now. And you're just kind of having to like...
Yeah.
experience all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a cool thing that only musicians really, or anyone that makes anything creative. I mean, I guess if you paint a painting,
right,
you can look back and be like, wow, I was feeling something. But with music, it's different because you're really absorbed in the music mm-hmm. when you listen to it.
Well, and it's so funny
so cool.
because, you know, like a lot of bands that are putting out music, it's like you finish that project or that album or that EP months in advance before it even reaches the ears of the audience. And so by the time it comes, you know, like by the time November comes out, we've been listening to it for almost 2 years.
So yeah, that's such a weird thing.
Yeah. And then after it's out, it's like, it's not ours anymore.
Mm-hmm. And people will interpret it however you want to interpret it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what was really cool, too, because, again, with so much of your music, I feel like I can really connect to, I mean, I don't know exactly what you guys are thinking, but I have at least an idea of, I'm not that good of an astrologer, but no, I mean, I feel like with your music, though, you really do connect with it, and I really did love also Head Full of Holes, too, which I know you guys performed earlier.
Yes.
So with that one, I was reading about how that song is really, or at least what you were saying about it in the past, was it's assessing how much of the past is real and how much is embellished in our own minds.
Mm-hmm.
Boom! Like, what a concept. I mean, it's true, but also, like, I'm just curious to kind of hear more about that, because I agree with that. I think that that's a really interesting thing. And do you feel like, are you talking about with that like very much nostalgia, or are you thinking of it's more like focusing on the past so that we're not focusing on maybe what's going on right now that could be difficult?
I think it's probably both. It's probably, this is something I learned in therapy.
Yes.
Like, you know, a trauma. Therapy,
yes.
A trauma.
The trauma.
You are capable of sort of like reprogramming that memory.
Yeah.
And if you're blocking it, then it's not as bad as it actually was, you know?
Mm.
But then on the nostalgic side, yeah, it's like you crave and you want to relive those like great memories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So if there's a movie or if there's an album that, you know, had an impact on you back then and you listen to it again.
It takes you back.
Yeah.
We're obsessed with reliving that feeling again, you know?
Yeah.
Which is why we like, there's a cycle of like, oh yeah, let's go search for these like vintage t-shirts or whatever.
We're all about nostalgia and vintage.
Yeah.
And are you guys millennials too? Or are you guys, what are, not to get into every all the ages.
What
stuff,
are we? I don't even know.
What year are you born?
Ooh.
You're like,
yes.
Well, I was just talking about millennials for myself.
I think that we are millennials.
Okay. We are.
Yeah.
You guys are millennials.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I just feel like the reason why I bring up millennials is because I think, I don't know, maybe every generation has that. But I feel like for us in the 90s, let's just say that,
mm-hmm.
whoever had a childhood in the 90s of any age, I think that we all connected with the sweetness that was the 90s. Maybe it wasn't sweet for everyone if you're like a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Now, like, I'm in my 30s, and now I'm like wondering if people are having that experience who are kids now. Like, even though it's a different time, but it's true, the nostalgia of it all, our memories, there could be so many difficult things that were actually happening in the 90s, and there were.
Right.
But for us, we just remember those sweet, like, you know, Barbies, and, you know, with the Barbie movie coming. It's like, we get so into it, and I think you're right. I think, at least as a millennial, I feel like a lot of my friends, we all really get into it.
Yeah.
Because I think we're kind of craving that certainty and the sweetness that seemed to be of that time, at least. I don't know if it really was, and maybe that's kind of what you guys are talking about.
It's probably also out of fear of the future.
Right.
Or present. Or, you know, it's just like, let's go back to, because it's easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Connection to, like, what was happening, like, culturally back then also. It's like, I think of kids nowadays being like, wow, like, so challenging. You're just like on your phone all day and you have social media. It's like we lived through a period of time, like graced the period of time right
without
before
phones.
That happened where
it
makes you look at life a little differently. And the nostalgia of it is really intense.
I don't know if kids have that now. I mean, I don't want to speak for the kids, but it's like they do have phones and they do have social media and they want to get on Instagram at like 10 years old. And we didn't have that pressure. I think we just got to be weird and be kids and get to be like whatever we wanted to be without the pressure of all these people watching us and like judging us and being like, that's weird that you're doing that.
And I mean, the visibility.
Yeah.
The pressure that comes from that.
So much pressure.
Like you used to be able to also like for music, you know, it used to be cool to be like the cool kid that found something that no one's listening to.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you're just like kind of spoon-fed it.
That's
where
true.
You can't go like bin diving for vinyls or whatever and be
you
like
just go on Spotify.
Right.
Yeah, which is great. It's so nice to have so much music at our fingertips, but it does take away a little bit of like the, I don't know, just the excitement of finding something or like, like you said, like your friend making you a mix CD.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've never heard this band before.
I miss mix CDs.
I do. And is there a way to get back to it? I don't know. Like we are so far in a direction. I don't know, but I think there is a group of people that like that.
We're making CDs.
Yeah.
For our album.
Oh, you guys are?
Yeah, we're single-handedly going to bring back the CD industry.
One CD, two CD. What about cassettes? For the people that
I love cassettes. I mean, I love just like the idea of that as a collection, but
I don't think that people are too far gone in that direction. It's like we just got off tour and it was so cool to see like the kids that are out there just craving that sort of interaction like connection. And connection. Yeah. And, you know, you're just like, it was refreshing because I feel like all of us can get very absorbed in the vortex of technology. And it's like hard to, you know, really feel that from people. So.
Well, and I'm sure like, especially during the pandemic, that was something I was thinking about too with your music. Since you did put out a lot of music right in the pandemic, you didn't get to have that experience. Well, I don't know. Did you get to have that experience of like performing live? I know you went on tour and that was like this last year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you were first putting out music, it's like you didn't necessarily get to have that experience that maybe a lot of artists have when they're first putting out their stuff.
I mean, that relationship is pretty important.
Yeah.
Making music and performing it, so not having it separated like that. I mean, it's a great thing too, you know.
Yeah.
Like that first EP was just like that was just us, you know, alone in a room for a while.
Cool too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's different, but
different
cool.
Outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. It's so cool because I don't think I've really like talked to a band yet that has put most of their music out in the pandemic. I mean, they were kind of around and then they put stuff out. So this is a very unique experience, and I'm sure there's other bands too, but for you guys, it's just cool that you, in one way, had this little, like, isolated time to do your own thing, and then later, I guess people started listening, and you had shows, and then all the, you know, kind of chaos began after that, in terms of touring and everything, and, like, getting the energy from other people, and then you're, like
feeling it from other people. It was cool. I think it just like, I don't know, the pandemic with everything just kind of like dropped the veil of bullshit.
Yeah.
And you know, like we live in a very like an industry centered city. So it was kind of nice for that noise to go away for a moment and we could just really like lean into.
Just be real.
Just be real and just be like, okay, like what do we actually want to make today without like thinking about, oh, I had a session with this person the other day and this influenced me, or, you know, this
the
is
FOMO.
Trending.
The FOMO.
Right.
That's so true.
It left.
Because you
it
were just with yourself, that's it, writing the music. And that really is so, it's just such an interesting thing. I really like that you guys, I mean, it seems like you had that experience and now you're out in the world and it seems like people are very receptive to your music. They're really interested in what's going on. And with all your new music you're putting out, it's kind of like now you're here and you're ready to like kind of be like, hey, let's do this thing. But I'm glad.
Let's tango.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's a bad joke. That's a dad joke.
Tango. Let's face it.
Honestly, dad jokes are part of the nostalgia.
True.
And I think it's what we were talking about. We gotta
keep being nostalgic.
Yeah, we gotta keep that nostalgia alive. But honestly, this is really exciting. I'm so happy to get to talk to you guys and just get to hear a little bit about your music, hear about your process. So you guys are going on. Let's see. So you did a tour. I know you were in at the Moroccan Lounge in July, right? That was your last LA show, right?
That was supposed to be our last LA show, but then we ended up playing with Fantagram instead.
Oh wow!
We were rescheduled.
That's exciting. Yeah. Okay, but
it was a really exciting opportunity. I don't know if you've heard of the Bellwether.
It's like a brand
new venue.
It sounds familiar. I don't know if
it
it just opened.
But that was the first show.
We were the first.
Oh, so you were the first band to ever. Play. You guys and Fantagram.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Oh my goodness, how was that playing with Fantagram?
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. I mean, when we moved to Brooklyn in 2012, that was like the band.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so we're like around, I feel like we're around the same age, maybe.
I don't know.
You're like, never tell.
The lady never tells.
We're 90s people, I know
that.
Well, and if you're talking about Fantagram in 2012, that was like, I went to CSUN, like I went here.
Oh, okay.
And so I remember walking around campus with like Fantagram in my little, well, I guess iPods.
Eyelid movies.
I'm actually 55.
You're like, I'm just, 64. I have the LA diet. Wow. Right. Yeah. Flawless. No, I love it. That's really exciting. So you guys are, so you did that. And then you guys, do you have any more tours coming up? You're doing Pitchfork Festival in London?
We're doing that. Yes. It's going to be so awesome. Playing with Chai, which we love them.
Okay, cool.
And then we have a few other shows sprinkled around over there. So it'll be our first time in the UK. And
oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's gonna be London really fun. Calling Festival in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay. Oh, that is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to do that. And then when are you going to be back in LA? Because I want to go.
Well, we're
this
planning.
This is for me.
Yeah, just
we're
you.
Planning
just
a,
me. Your show.
Your show. We're planning a release show.
Oh, cool.
At the end of November. Nice. So the details for that will be coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's exciting. Yeah. And you're on all the medias. The,
we are
all,
on,
all of them.
All of them.
The Il Peach.
The Il Peach.
Instagram.
We're on the deep, dark web.
There's a couple there.
Again, we love it, but also it's like, Instagram. We love it. We hate it. We need it. Anyways, but I always ask kind of a bonus question. We talked a little bit already about your astrology, which I'm glad you guys are indulging me in.
Here we go, baby.
Here we go. Here Let's we get go. Into it. I love hearing people's astrology. So we already know you said you're a Libra.
Libra.
And you're a Sag.
Sagittarius.
And you even knew your birth time, but I don't have my app pulled up to do your whole chart.
2:30 a.m. That's impressive.
November
28th.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
How do you know this?
Because I asked my mom recently.
Because in LA, you got to know your birth time.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know about in Brooklyn,
mom,
but
I moved
in
to LA, what time was I born?
People keep asking me my birth time. Yeah. I don't know. Is New York as much astrology centric, or is it mostly LA? I feel like LA
it's
is
probably. I don't know.
I don't think
I don't
so.
Know. Okay.
Not
say.
New York.
New York
not,
is very
not the
aggro,
folks that we were hanging
just
with.
Across the board.
Okay. Yeah. Well, LA, we have a very spiritual community, and I think astrology kind of like falls in that boat right there.
So totally.
We're all very into it. But okay, so Libra, Sag, do you guys know anything about those signs?
Or? Zero clue.
I mean, I just know.
You said you're a triple Libra.
I'm a triple Libra.
Dang.
So
all about balance.
All it's the ultimate balance.
What is
all
what balance. Is triple?
Sun, moon, and rising.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do I know if I'm double?
We got to
get
triple.
Your chart. Got to get your chart, son.
If we had more time, okay. I would do the whole thing, but we just don't. I don't think we have time unless people want to watch like a 50-minute video. But
are you guys down?
No. Matt's like, no.
I guess.
73 minutes on this
one. Oh, my God. Right. He's like, okay, you're going to wear time. No, I don't think it's 73 minutes.
Oh,
but it's okay.
God.
He can use this as bonus footage anyways. But I'll look at your chart another time, but in terms of being a triple Libra, so yeah, it's sun, moon, and rising. The sun is your like basic sense of self. The moon is your moods and emotion, and then the rising is your flash for the world or like the front door. Like this is how someone. Makes
I think I'm
you.
A lot of flash.
You're a lot of flash. Probably fire not. Because you're Sag, so you do have fire in your chart.
Yeah, I got
that.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely Sagittarius are like very fiery. They're very fun. They're very like enthusiastic, bombastic.
Like control.
Well, like really sensitive too at the same time.
That's not Sag, but I wonder, I think you might have some other stuff in your chart.
Yeah, I'm a blend. I'm a hybrid.
You're a hybrid.
I got a triple.
Yeah, well, everyone has a triple. I mean, everyone has a,
cool.
Well, not, I mean, everyone has a sun, moon, and rising is what I mean.
Oh,
but hers
you.
Just happens to be Libra across the board.
Okay.
So,
hey,
yeah, but Sagittarius are like a lot of fun. They are very much into adventure and traveling and culture and all those things.
What?
Yeah, all
Thank
those
you.
Things.
Thank
yes.
You. Wow.
It's like you.
Yes. That's, yeah, that's what you
And then
saying.
The Libra person's trying to find the balance within all of it.
Yes.
Sometimes Sagittarius can be a little all over the place, so then you have to like
too real.
Maybe like bring it in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll have to get into
the
a
chaos.
Deeper dive.
Okay.
Another time. But thank you for indulging me a little bit
thank
into
you.
Astrology. And thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
So fun.
Yay. And this was your first time, you said?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you've been here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
KCSN, the SoCalSN.
Hell yeah.
Yay.
Thank
well, thanks
you.
So much for watching. And, you know, hope to have Il Peach here again another time.
Sick.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trying times. SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Leanna Bassior. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.